Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we focus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As we heard last week at Ascension, before Jesus ascended, he promised his disciples a gift, power from on high. Because of this, many Christians only associate the Holy Spirit with the spectacular wind, fire, and tongues at the first Pentecost. But that is not generally our experience of the Holy Spirit, is it? There is no doubt that the Holy Spirit is active in the lives of Christians today, but usually that activity is quiet and unobtrusive rather than loud and obvious. For this reason, I want to focus not on the events of Pentecost Day, but on the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, guided by our reading from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said to his disciples on the night when he was betrayed, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When Christians look just at the events of the first Pentecost, they can arrive at a number of misconceptions. One misconception is that they might assume that the disciples present at Pentecost were somehow special, that they were super spiritual to have experienced the power of God manifest in wind, flames, and tongues. A second misconception might be that they objectify the Holy Spirit. By that I mean they come to think of him as a spiritual power rather than as a person. In response to that first misconception that only special people receive the Holy Spirit, it's good to read Acts chapter 2 a little further. At the end of Peter's Pentecost sermon from verse 36, he said this, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." In these verses from Acts chapter 2, Peter assures us that everyone who is baptized will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is essential because, aside from washing us clean from our sins and making us holy in God's sight, the Holy Spirit helps us to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Luther nicely summarized the work of the Holy Spirit in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed in the Small Catechism. "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." However, as much as all Christians can be assured that they received the Holy Spirit at their baptism, we also need to recognize the gift of the Holy Spirit is not a one-off event. We don't receive the Holy Spirit once at our baptism as a possession that we somehow own forever, but we keep on receiving him throughout life, through God's word and the sacraments. As I explained in the children's talk, we are spiritually like a solar-powered torch or lamp. that needs to continually receive power from the sun to shine. In the same way, we can only be lights in the world, as Jesus calls us on the Sermon on the Mount, if we allow God's Spirit to continually work in us, keeping us holy, sustaining our faith, and helping us to do good works. But, like all analogies, this one about a solar torch also has its limits. We must remember, as I mentioned in the second misconception, that the Holy Spirit isn't some impersonal power like light or electricity. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God himself, not just God's power. This relational aspect is what Jesus is teaching us in our gospel reading. We remain full of the Spirit when we constantly listen to Jesus through his Spirit. The two are inseparable, as we heard in John 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Thus, the Holy Spirit is more than just a power that fills and motivates us to trust in Jesus and live holy lives. He is our advocate, as Jesus calls him. He is someone who personally comes to us to help us through the ups and downs of life. One of the most important ways the Holy Spirit helps Christians through life is by pointing us to the truth, particularly the truth about Jesus, as we heard at the start of our reading. Later in verse 8, Jesus provides detail of what this testimony entails. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's look at each of these truths in turn. The first truth the Holy Spirit reveals to us is a diagnosis of our spiritual condition, that human beings are infected with sin. Sin is described in a variety of ways in the Bible, but Jesus summarizes sin in verse 9 with the statement, "Because people do not believe in me." Sin is the root cause of unbelief, and unbelief is the foundational sin from which all other sins proceed. It's important to note here, though, that belief in Jesus is not simply an intellectual exercise. It's not just believing that Jesus exists or even knowing something about his teachings. But belief in Jesus means trusting him as our Lord and Savior. In John's Gospel, faith is also coupled with obedience. Those who truly trust Jesus will listen to him and obey his commands. The insidiousness of sin is that even when people do trust Jesus, that faith can be distorted without them even realizing. For example, Christians might claim that because Jesus has saved them, they don't need to do anything, that good works are not necessary. Or they might say that they trust in Jesus, but their actions show their faith is in their works rather than in God's gifts. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to show us the truth, to convict us of our sin, not just once, but again and again. People need this truth to bring them to repentance and faith, as happened at the first Pentecost. But even after Christians have been saved through baptism, we still need the Holy Spirit to remind us that we have not yet been perfected, that our old sinful selves continue to struggle with our new holy selves, trying to drag us back down into unbelief and enmity with God. And so we mustn't take the Holy Spirit for granted, but call on him again and again to help us resist sin and trust in Jesus. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit not only reveals the law to us, but also the gospel. And the second thing he reveals is a prescription for our spiritual sickness, a cure for our sin. That cure is not in anything we do, but in what Jesus has done for us. In verse 10, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would reveal the truth about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. Remember that Jesus is speaking these words to the disciples on Maundy Thursday. And so that phrase, going to the Father, is shorthand for everything that will shortly follow: Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. In dying on the cross and rising again, Jesus destroyed the power of sin over us and made us righteous, that is, right with God. No longer does sin separate us from God, but in baptism we are joined to Jesus and receive his righteousness as a gift. Even though, as we heard last week, Jesus is now ascended to rule with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit ensures we continue to receive all the benefits of Jesus' life and work. And to encourage us to endure, the Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' promise to come back to take us to be with him. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the promise of the resurrection, where we will finally be free of our old sinful selves and enjoy living fully in our new holiness forever. The third truth the Holy Spirit reveals is judgment. But this is not further law. It's not judgment of us, but it is gospel, a declaration of victory. In verse 11, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This truth is so necessary because, as we reflected on at Ask Pastor last week, we live in a liminal space. On the one hand, we have been washed and sanctified in baptism, but on the other hand, we still struggle to be holy. On the one hand, Jesus is ruling from heaven, yet on the other hand, we still suffer here on earth. And so from a human perspective, it looks like the devil, not Jesus, has won. And so we need the Holy Spirit to remind us of the truth. The truth that Jesus' death on the cross was victory over sin, death, and the devil. That Jesus' reign from heaven is not some fiction, but it is reality. Even though the prince of this world can still make our lives uncomfortable, he has no power to truly harm us anymore. Those who are baptized and live in the power of the Holy Spirit need not fear the present or the future, because we are safe in the care of our risen and ascended Lord. The Holy Spirit shows us the heavenly perspective hidden from our human eyes, the reality that God has everything under control. The final truth the Holy Spirit shares with us is that we also, collectively as church, are to share the truth of sin, righteousness, and judgment with the world. Remember Jesus' words at the beginning of our reading. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. Now, admittedly, this can be difficult. Most people today don't want to listen to Jesus. They don't want to be told that they are sinners. And no matter how gently we try and communicate this message, we're likely to be criticized for it, sometimes even by other Christians who want us to share the gospel without the law. But we do need to try, because it's the truth. At the same time, we don't do so smugly, thinking that we're better than other people. Nor should we use the guise of truth to deliberately offend others. Rather, we persevere in the truth because it's good news. It is the news of all people's salvation. Luther summarizes the good news like this at the end of his explanation of the third article. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead, and will give eternal life to me and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And as difficult as it may be to share the truth, there is good news for us in it too. When we testify to what Jesus has done for us, we are assured that the Holy Spirit will help us to do so. The Holy Spirit is not only our advocate in our personal salvation, but he is our advocate in our vocation as Christians. As Jesus promised in Luke chapter 12, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Dear saints of God, at your baptism you received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He has revealed to you the truth about sin, righteousness, and judgment, and helps you to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So testify to that truth in your own lives and in the lives of others, confident that the Holy Spirit, your advocate, is always there to help you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus.